Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Show, Manhattan Beach 360, on January 15th, 2016. Live, love, laugh, and leave a legacy. That's what we do here in the South Bay of Los Angeles, and it's a beautiful place to do just that. I'm your host, Joe Terry.
The South Bay Show is brought to you by the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce. The Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce has been serving the city of Manhattan Beach for over 60 years, and they are dedicated to promoting a strong local economy by supporting the community, providing valuable business connections, and representing business with government. The Chamber staff is focused on providing its membership with the tools and resources to help businesses grow and thrive within the community. Their goal is to continually support the individual efforts of business as they work to support the growth of the local economy. For more information on how the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce is working with member businesses and the City of Manhattan Beach to support that growth, visit the website at manhattanbeachchamber.com or call 310-545-5313.
You can read all about our many adventures on Facebook at facebook.com/The South Bay Show. Persistence, passion, principle, and purpose. That's what we talk about here on The South Bay Show. And, of course, I'm not alone because of our great partnership with SouthBayByJackie.com and producer of The South Bay Show, Jackie Balestra. Hey, Jackie, how are you doing today?
I'm obsessed with rain. Is it going to rain today? Because it sure looks like it out there.
Well, but you don't trust the weathermen.
I know. I'm not paying any attention to them. I'm trying to forecast it for myself, and I'm just looking for a little input.
I see. Well, I don't see much rain today.
Okay. All right. I keep my fingers crossed. I've become obsessed with the weather.
and we should be too. It's been glorious, actually. Fall like, winter like weather.
Yeah. Yesterday was beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
And people are getting some amazing sunrise and sunset pictures. Have you seen those on Facebook and social media? Yeah. The clouds make for pretty skies.
Yeah, they do. It's been a wonderful, wonderful start of the year. I love some of the shows we're doing with forward-looking statements and looking forward to the future, financial and health and so forth. But it's also instructive sometimes to step back and look at what we've accomplished over the previous year and then look forward. And I'm so pleased.
And to have a plan.
And to have a plan.
Yes.
To look back, to look forward, to have a plan. I love these things, and it's always great to have a mayor on the show.
Yeah.
Jackie, who's our guest today?
We have a returning guest this morning, Mayor Mark Burton from the City of Manhattan Beach. Mark has been serving as a council member for the last few years and very recently took over the reins as mayor. He has lived in the South Bay for over 50 years and is a former senior assistant city attorney with over 30 years of public service to the city of L.A. As a former senior assistant city attorney, he served as a prosecutor and represented police officers, firefighters, and the city in state and federal courts. Mark has also served as a management attorney where he advised city leaders such as mayors, council members, city commissioners, department heads, and upper-level management in managing their employees and issues. Now, it's always exciting when we get to have a sitting mayor as our guest, and this morning we're going to get some insight on the upcoming State of the City address. I think it's now called State of Manhattan, which will take place Wednesday, February 10th from 7:30 in the morning until 10 a.m., at the Joslyn Center, and everybody should attend this. This is big, important stuff. Mayor Mark Burton, welcome back to the program. We're so glad you could join us this morning.
Well, thank you, Jackie. Good morning to you and Joe. It's always a pleasure being on the South Bay Show. I think you have the leading radio show in the South Bay, and you do a lot of great work for the South Bay.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mark. And it's a pleasure having you because, you know, we're so excited about the directions that Manhattan Beach is going in, and the governance of Manhattan Beach is most all residents will say is very, very well done. It's obvious that people in Manhattan Beach care about where they live and how it's governed. But first, I want to talk about the basics, like the way in which Manhattan Beach is governed. Have you been mayor before?
No, I haven't. This was my first term as mayor, and it started on July 7th.
Do all council members get to be mayor?
Yes. What we do in Manhattan Beach, we're all voted at large, so we have five council members, mm-hmm. And each council member rotates into the position of mayor, and we generally serve as mayor for about 9.5 months, Joe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, now at this point that you are mayor, you have an opportunity to, in a sense, set the agenda or at least frame the discussions. And that's really a key position on the council. But first we want to talk about what 2015 was like, because it started off with a bang. The ULI study was a huge deal. So many other cities around Southern California were watching and looking to see how that went. Tell us about the ULI Land Institute study, and then how that played out over the year.
Sure, Joe. You know, actually, ULI actually came and brought their work product to the city and to the city council last year in January. Mm-hmm. And I think they interviewed approximately 140 stakeholders, and that's residents, business owners, property owners, commercial property owners, at the latter part of 2014. So they actually brought their work product forward. We actually hired ULI as part of our specific plan process. So mm-hmm. we saw on the city council that our downtown was changing. And, of course, your role on city council is basically to manage change. If you don't manage change, change will happen by itself, and who knows which direction you'll go. So we saw downtown changing, and it was changing at a rapid pace where we were losing those small retail stores, and banks were coming in, and realty companies were coming in, and we just didn't want to lose the character and quality of our basically delightful, wonderful downtown. So we put a moratorium in place, and you're allowed to do that under the state statute. Allows you basically to put a moratorium in place while you develop a specific plan. Mm. So when we started the specific plan, we were looking at a way to expedite that, and we looked at ULI. They are the gold standard as far as urban land development. They had a team of experts that came in town for an entire week. They interviewed, like I said, approximately 140 stakeholders, and then they presented their recommendations at the Jocelyn Center. It was well attended by a couple of hundred people, so it was very exciting. Everybody was very excited about the process, about the results, and we've kind of taken it from there. So it was a great way to start off last year.
Wow, was it? And it was amazing. A lot of the initiatives and a lot of the information that came out of that study were not only surprising, but actionable information that the city can really work on. And there were many other things that happened during the city. I want to give you a chance to describe what you think were some of the highlights of 2015.
Well, you know, in 2015 was our first full year with our new city manager. So, you know, internally, he brought aboard an assistant city manager, and she's excellent. Our new city manager, what I like to call him, is the next generation city manager. The old school city manager was more of a controlling city manager, kind of ran the city, and the city council were more or less figureheads. They'd show up to events, and he or she would run the city. The next generation city manager, the one we hired, Mark Denae, he really listens to council, really takes direction from council, really respects the residents. So he had a first full year, and internally he makes some great hires. So he hired a new community development director, Marissa Lundstedt. She's excellent. He hired a new human resources director. She's excellent. So internally, the team began to take shape, which was very exciting. Mm. And then at the council level, we as council members, too, kind of upped our game, and we all came together. So the best thing you can do on city council is keep an open mind, listen to your fellow council members, and then all work together, okay, to find a solution and really listen to each other and listen to learn. So that began to take shape early last year, too, and we just kind of took off from there. Hmm. So as far as governance, we really put our governance in place last year. We changed our meeting management rules. Our meetings, Joe, used to start at 6 and go to 1:30 to 2 in the morning, like marathon sessions. We now have our meetings from 6 to 10:30. Generally, we're done by 10. And the amazing thing, Joe, is we're getting 2 to 3 times more work done. And then, of course, if you're meeting to 1:30 in the morning, your residents can't show up and give public comment. So we've moved public comment to the front of the meeting. And we're actually getting more people showing up, getting public comment, being able to participate in our meetings. So that was to me, the most important development last year,
getting
our governance in place.
This is very important. I mean, I've been going to city council meetings in the South Bay for 25 years, and there's nothing like a city council meeting that starts, like you say, at like 6 or 7 p.m. in the evening,
right,
and doesn't end till 2 a.m. It's insane.
Yes.
It's
like a war of attrition where it's hard to think clearly at 11:30, and our poor residents who would like to show up and be heard. You know, most of our residents in this town, they're in bed by 10 o'clock. You know, they've got families they're raising, they got school, they got work. So to me, it was very disrespectful to our residents.
Right.
And like I said, the process did not lead to good decision making. So since we've changed our meeting management rules, we're making decisions. I think we're making good decisions. We're getting more input from the community. So we really kind of took off that way as a city council, and it's kind of led to a lot of positive developments.
You know, Mark, you make it sound so easy. You know, well, it sounds so easy to say, city council, we should work together and improve things. It sounds easy, but it's not. We know of other areas, cities and towns, their city councils can't get it together. There's a lot of bickering and things don't get done. So it sounds like something. It sounds easy, but it's really not. It's very difficult. So for all of you to make that extra effort is kudos to you guys and ladies.
Yeah, you know, Jackie, you're right. It's not easy. We had several retreats. We had a facilitator. We had a 2-day retreat to start the year. Mid year, we had another retreat with the same facilitator, and we all committed. And it's really a testament to my colleagues. I'm familiar with city councils throughout California, having worked in city government now for 34 years. And on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the highest performing city council, 1 being the least, we're at 9 or 10, my colleagues. They're really fantastic. So we all just kind of recommitted. But it was hard work. We all had to commit to it. We had to be dedicated to it. We have to remind ourselves now and then about the certain principles we committed to. For instance, I'll give you an example. Most city councils, you'll see there's a portion of time when they're discussing an item where they get to ask questions of staff. Well, all too often, city council members will then begin posturing or positioning and advocating for a position rather than just asking questions. Well, when you do that, it really throws off the whole process. So we're very disciplined about just asking questions. We're very disciplined that when we go to have a city council discussion, rather than coming out hard and forcefully, you know, we listen to each other. It's kind of like the last jury instruction a judge gives you before a jury deliberates to say, listen, when you go back there, you have an obligation to listen to your fellow jurors to discuss the evidence. Mm. Don't go back there and say guilty, not guilty. Because if you do that right away, next thing you know, the battle's on, passions are inflamed. It's the same thing on city council when you do deliberations. You can't come out hard and fast, just say, listen, here's what I'm seeing, what are you seeing? And I'm all working together as a team. So there's a great sense of team on city council right now. And it's a lot more fun, Joe and Jackie. Right. It's a lot more fun being on council when you see that dynamic going on.
Right. There's some special secret sauce, though, we think. Jackie has said, and I've also talked to many people, just lay people in the community and other city councils around the South Bay. We talked to probably 9 or 10 different cities at some point of time, and there's something about Manhattan Beach. Other city councils envy the Manhattan Beach City Council for how well you work together. What is it about the people that run for city council in Manhattan Beach that they are committed to working with their fellow city council members?
Well, Joe, thank you for those kind words, and I agree. I've always said that Manhattan Beach has generally a higher caliber of council member. I think it comes from our residents and the expectation of our residents. And kind of the cornerstone is civility.
Hmm.
There's an expectation we get on council that everyone, treats each other respectfully, really listens, is well-mannered. And the last thing you want to do in a city council is look like there's little personal squabbles going on.
Hmm.
And that comes from our residents. If you see the way they treat each other in this town, they're very kind, they're very understanding, they're very intelligent, and they expect you to have that type of demeanor on city council. So I think it's really the expectation of our residents that they want to elect people like that, and they expect you to behave like that when you got on city council.
I remember we were talking with the chamber, and they had some new demographic tools on their website, and we were looking at reading rates. Did you remember that, Jackie? And the reading rates in Manhattan Beach are off the charts.
Yes.
People in Manhattan Beach are readers.
Oh, yes.
And I remember asking, how do they know that? How did they figure that out?
Right.
Are they looking at people's windows saying, oh, he's reading the paper. Oh, he's reading a novel. Oh, look, there's somebody sitting on their porch reading something.
Right.
Oh, I think our residents are very well informed. I think they're engaged. They're very intelligent. So if you look at the demographics, too, as far as the managers we have, the people with degrees, advanced degrees, it's a very well-educated community, very well informed.
So reading is certainly a metric to rate a community on. Now, Mark, let's talk about roads. How are the roads doing?
In our city, if you drive around the South Bay, you know, obviously the South Bay has wonderful cities, but I think we have some of the best roads in the South Bay. And I'm hoping that sometime this year our public works director is going to come back on the roads. And there's a grading system of roads, and you can have, let's say it's 1 to 5. I forget exactly. It's a pavement management system, but you can enhance the condition of your roads by saying, rather than having a grade of 3.1, a grade of 4, 4.5, whatever it is. Obviously, there's cost involved in that. That's something we're going to look at this year. Right. But I think it's really important to have well maintained roads.
Yeah, it's so funny that Joe brought that up. yesterday we were talking with City Council Member Mike Griffiths from Torrance, and we were talking about all the road work all the infrastructure work they did last year, and you don't know how great it can be until it's done. We put up, people put up with bad roads and like, oh, this road is bumpy, or oh, look at all these potholes and stuff. And then when it gets redone, it's like, oh,
Yeah.
it doesn't sound important, but it is really, really important.
Yeah. No.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a whole new driving experience when you drive on a well-paved road, isn't it?
Yes, and it's so appreciated.
Yes.
Now, we were shocked. I mean, they in Torrance have taken it upon themselves to really make a huge difference, as opposed to prior years when they were really neglecting their roads.
Well, they had to. There was no money.
There was no money. In the year 2015, they made a commitment to their roads, and I think Mike said that 15% of their roads were resurfaced in 2015, in the summer of 2015, which is incredible.
Right.
15%. Yeah. Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, Joe, I think we've been doing that for the years. That's why the condition of our roads is generally superior to most other cities. We're always repaving our roads. and that's an expectation of the community, too. They want their roads really well maintained. So that's something we've always kind of prided ourselves in. And we're going to look at it again this year to see if we want to up our game in that regard, too.
I want to say to people that are listening, if you think this is a love fest for Manhattan Beach, you're right. And if you think that this is, we're talking about literally one of the best run, best maintained cities in California. And regardless of who we talk to, whether it's a state assemblyman, David Hadley, or city councilman Mike Griffith from Torrance, everyone has an appreciation for how well the city of Manhattan Beach is run. And here's another simple one. They don't have to do 15% of their roads in 1 year because of the neglect of previous years, because they constantly are looking at, there's some types of maintenance that you can't let go.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, listen.
And that comes from what you don't see that's below the roads. It comes from your sewers. It comes from your water systems. You can't neglect the basic infrastructure.
Right.
I always like to look at it, Joe and Jackie, as, there's three basic services: your essential city services, your basic city services, and then your discretionary. And you always, on your essential and your basics, you always make sure those are well maintained, and have a plan for, because recessions hit, have a plan so that when a recession hits, that you're still maintaining your basic infrastructure systems. And, those who came before us on city council have always done a great job in that regard.
You know, before we move on to the state of Manhattan, I want to go back to that ULI study, just because it's so important. And this is the first time in recent history that I've heard of any of the local cities doing that. Are either of you aware of any of the other local South Bay cities undertaking a study like that?
No, Jackie, not for a specific plan for their downtown or anything of that nature.
Okay. Well, the reason I wanted to bring this up is because I was so impressed with that whole process and when the report came out. And I read the report. I don't know if Joe did. I read the report. There were a lot of surprises in it, I thought. And not a lot, but there were quite a few surprises.
Right.
And a couple of them, I don't know if I'm going to get the numbers right, but 75% of the restaurants in Manhattan Beach, 75% of people going to restaurants are from out of town. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And something like, you know, I can't remember if it was 60% or 80% of sales tax
revenue
is generated by visitors. Is that correct as well? Do I remember that correctly?
Yeah, that's correct, Jackie. You've got the right numbers.
Okay. So, and there were other things. I remember them saying that. Never mind that. The one I want to focus on is the sales revenue and the restaurants. Okay, and because there is so much other development happening throughout the rest of the South Bay, and it can get very contentious. And a lot of these developers and the cities are having open houses. They're reaching out to the community to explain their projects and what they're going to do for the community. And I've gone to several of these events, and at a couple of them recently, when it's time for the public comments, I've gotten up and referenced the Manhattan Beach ULI study because people don't realize how much cities need those visitor tax dollars.
Oh, it's absolutely vital.
I think most of Manhattan Beach had no idea that much revenue was coming from. I think that a lot of people thought Manhattan Beach was like self-sustaining. You know, they took care of themselves, and as you said, it's an educated population. They have good jobs and careers, and they're well-read and they're smart. But you depend on that revenue from out of towners.
So what you're saying, Jackie, is building a wall 100 feet high around Manhattan.
Oh, would be to the detriment of Manhattan.
And we'll get Redondo to pay for it.
Yeah, there you go. But you see what I'm getting at is that I think the populace in general is clueless as to where the tax dollars come from, and specifically, CenterCal, you know, the Redondo Beach Harbor project.
Oh, I saw a presentation. I belong to the Manhattan Beach Rotary, and I'm president-elect, actually, for next year, and very proud to be president-elect. But we had a presentation on CenterCal, and I was thoroughly impressed with that, all the concepts that they want to do. And I'm thinking to myself, why wouldn't the community embrace that, work with the developer to make sure it's something exactly that the community wants. But I think you're right. I think cities have to, or at least residents, everyone has to recognize that there's only two main revenue streams a city has, a small city like we do in Manhattan Beach. It's our property taxes and our sales taxes.
Right.
And what was great about ULI was they gave us all the data and the insights we need to know how invaluable that is, having people come, from outside our city to dine in our city, to stay in our city, to visit. And I'm very proud of the fact right now is in Southern California, as far as the business community, they choose to have their lunch meetings, their meetings after hours at restaurants in Manhattan Beach.
Right.
They'll drive from Beverly Hills, downtown L.A., and they'll come to Manhattan Beach. Mm-hmm. And that's vitally important to the economic vitality of our city.
And if you put that wall up around Manhattan Beach, Joe, all those great restaurants will have to close because they won't be able to survive.
Oh, we're not going to have a wall, Joe. We're going to have hostesses and hosts welcoming you to the city. Come on in.
Aren't you concerned about our porous borders around Manhattan Beach?
Well, no, the point I'm trying to make is, as I said, I've referenced the ULI study, at, you know, when I made my comments at these different events. And, you know, I said, don't kid yourself, people. We need those tax dollars.
Right.
You know, again, I just don't think the residents, the majority of the population, understand this. I don't think they get it.
No, and Jackie, what's beautiful at ULI was they gave us a lot of great recommendations, a lot of data. Now we're taking that, and our community development director and that department is working to bring us a specific plan, which will be happening probably in the spring of this year. And the whole concept of a specific plan for downtown is, and this, you know, specific plan started back east. So you see those quaint, beautiful downtowns on New England coastline. Mm-hmm. You know, that started back in the 50s and 60s. Then in the 70s, you started certain California cities like Carmel, you know, like Laguna Beach started doing specific plans for downtown. So we're way behind the curve. But once you put one in place, it guarantees the vision and vitality for downtown for the next 20 years. So that's what's going to be exciting going forward, and it all started with ULI.
Wow.
Yeah, a lot of exciting things. And we will get – let's do our station break now, and then we can get into the meat of the state of Manhattan.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to the South Bay Show, and we're talking with Mayor Mark Burton from Manhattan Beach, and we're going to talk about the state of Manhattan going forward. Mark and several other leaders in the community are going to be presenting the State of the City, State of Manhattan address, which will take place on Wednesday, February 10th, from 7:30 to 10 a.m. in the morning at the Joslyn Center. That's February 10th, and we're going to talk more with the mayor about that. But, of course, if you have questions or comments, we'd love to have you. Please join us at 714-242-5288. That's 714-242-5288. We'd love to have your comment or question. And we're back now. And, Mark, just before we go on to the State of Manhattan, are there any other highlights from 2015 that you'd like to talk about that you're especially proud of?
Well, you know, there's so many to choose from, Joe, and besides the governance, my colleagues, you know, coming together to form a great city council, I think what we did in most of 2015 was kind of tee it up for 2016. So we gave direction to staff to look at a specific plan now for Sepulveda. We gave direction to staff to look at Sepulveda to work with Hermosa Beach to basically bring in complete streets. We gave direction to staff on a whole series of public safety initiatives regarding footbeat patrols, regular and random footbeats for downtown, our North Manhattan Beach, El Porto area, and the mall. We gave direction regarding security cameras, installing them at certain points of ingress and egress. We gave direction to also come back with a plan and have all security cameras, residential, commercial, retail, everything, all registered with the police department. So if a crime occurs in a certain area, police department can reach out and say, we've got cameras all in it. Can you preserve copies of those tapes? So we also gave direction that we want 100% participation in the our neighborhood watch program. So we gave direction on a whole host of issues, including a five-star hotel, looking at whether that's viable or not. So it's an exciting year because we kind of teed it up and gave direction to staff last year, and they'll be coming back with reports on a whole host of issues like that, including one of my favorites, the formation of an Economic Development Advisory Council, kind of replicating what El Segundo's been doing so successfully for the last 15, 20 years.
Okay. Wow, that's a lot.
That is a lot.
We've got a lot going on.
And I love the foot patrols. I love the foot patrols. Growing up in New York, most of it is foot patrol.
Right.
And the biggest thing about that, as I always used to kid around, you know, all the kids knew the cops. The cops knew the kids. The cops knew the parents. So.
Right.
You always knew that there was somebody around that knew what was going on, and it would eventually get back to mom.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's really important. I think that's so important.
Yes.
That's fantastic. And of course, now going forward, 2016 is going to be a very, very exciting year. There's going to be the Olympics in Rio, of course, the election in November, and then many other things I'm sure will come up. But what are some of the major events that the city is looking forward to? And then we'll get to the State of Manhattan address.
Well, you know, we always have our regular events, our community events this year, right. So we're always looking forward to you know, we got our hometown fair coming up again this year, obviously. We're going to have our Earth Day in the spring. So things like that, Joe, that are regular events, are things that, as a mayor, too, if it's on my term as mayor, it's just so much fun. It's just a profound joy to participate. So, you know, last year in the pier lighting, I got to throw the switch that let the pier lights, that was so much fun. I actually didn't do it myself. I saw a young man in the audience, and because the holidays are all about kids and about adults' love for kids. So I had the kid come up with me. His name was Alex. I think he was about 10 or 12. So he threw the switch and things like that. So all those events will be coming forward, which we like. But there's so many opportunities here that we're going to take a look at, that we're going to explore and give direction to our staff, so that we're very excited. I think our staff is very excited. We're going to make another hire to our economic vitality manager is going to be hired soon. We just hired our IT director. So the team is getting now will be complete this year, too. And we made an important change, too, regarding our city hall hours.
Hmm.
You know, 3 years ago, the city council, before I was on city council, allowed our employees to work a 980 schedule. And because we're open, you know, 5 days a week, 8 hours a day, and you got the 980 schedule, what happened was we had a number of our employees that were off, employees and managers, off on a Friday or Monday.
Hmm.
So effectively, we only had a full-time staff 3 days a week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Hmm.
This was a huge problem when our new city manager came on board. Our human resources director looked, everyone looked at it, all our directors and managers were saying, this isn't working.
Hmm.
This is very inefficient. We only have a full-time city staff 3 days a week. Hmm. So we're switching beginning April 1st, and we're going to go on a 980, where we're going to close City Hall every other Friday. And so we will now have, instead of 80 hours of City Hall being open every 2 weeks, we'll be open 90 hours.
Hmm.
Rather than having only 3 days of full-time city staff, we'll have 9 days as full-time city staff. So I think you'll really see, as far as work product, workload, efficiency, will really take off after April, because we'll have all hands on deck every day that City Hall's open. So that was an important change that we just made.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Yeah, that's our city manager and our city council, kind of, you know, doing the right thing, not being afraid to do the right thing, and making sure that we're the most efficient and effective city government we can be.
Wow. Wow, that's a big one. That's a huge one.
Yes.
So let's talk about the city address, State of Manhattan. What are some of your goals for the State of Manhattan address?
Well, the first thing, Joe, is we're changing the whole state of the city kind of program.
Hmm.
Generally, the way the state of the city was, you know, whoever was the mayor at the time would get up and give a presentation about the financial health of the city, maybe have a presentation from the finance director. Talk about what happened, you know, in the past, not too much forward-looking.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of a one-trick pony, for lack of a better term.
Mm-hmm.
Now, because, you know, this is a great city, not just because of city government. It's because of so many people in the city, so many civic organizations. It's because of our schools. So this is going to be a new state of the state of Manhattan. It's going to involve everybody. So I will have a period of time where I'll talk about what city government is doing. Mike Matthews, who's the superintendent from Manhattan Beach Unified School District, will talk about what's going on with the schools this year.
Mm-hmm.
The chamber will talk, and we'll have other civic organizations and business organizations all being able to get up there and talk about what's ahead in 2016 and how we can all work together to make this even a greater city. So the whole concept has changed.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to involve all our basically stakeholder groups in the city that make it a great city. Because if you just look at our schools, obviously, they have a profound impact on making this a great city.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the reasons you see so many people moving to this city. I mean, it's a safety city. It's a great city. But you've got these great schools. So I always tell people Manhattan Beach is the greatest city, you know, to raise your family, to live, and successfully age. But it's not just because of city government. It's all our partnerships. So all our partners are going to be there. So I'm very excited about this new process.
Wow. Okay. So this is a very interesting way of approaching a state of the city, State of Manhattan event. It's almost like a mini TED Talk. I love it.
Yes. It's going to be. I think it's going to be dynamic. It's going to be exciting, and it is atypical. This is not what you find in most cities. Most cities, just the mayor getting up there talking about what city government did,
right.
And that's not what makes Manhattan Beach great. It's not just city government. We're part of it, but there's a whole host of partners we have, and so we're all going to participate.
How did the change in format come about?
Through discussions with James O'Callaghan and myself, we just thought we needed to take it to the next level. What would that be? So this is what he decided to do after several conversations. So I want to thank him. I want to thank the chamber and the board because I think this is a better way to do it.
Mm. Wow, I'm excited because this is I think going to be very, very well received. People do want to hear from the superintendent of the schools and how business is doing, what business needs is a very important aspect of the city functioning.
Yeah, Joe, quite frankly, I think this is one of the can't-miss events. So that's February 10th from 7:30 to 10. It's going to be at Jocelyn Center, a community center. So residents, business owners, everyone should try to be there because I think it's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be very informative, very insightful.
Right. Wow. Fantastic. Well, now we have some time left, and we know that it's going to be. Are there any other points that people should have in terms of preparation before that? Maybe where to find the ULI study if they haven't actually read the study or they'd like to read the study. Where can people get access to that? Still, we should remind people.
Yeah, if you just go to the city's website and then go to our community development director. Department section, you'll see it there. You'll also see on the face page, when you look at the home page, on the right-hand side, you'll see downtown. If you hit that button, it'll have all the documents that are relevant regarding our downtown-specific plan, the process, all the meetings, all the reports. So you can get everything from just hitting that button, too. But, all the documents are on our website. And like I said, the easiest way is just look at the home page where it says downtown.
Right. Excellent. So I'm not sure what are we.
This is the state of Manhattan. So this is all of Manhattan Beach. This isn't just the downtown they're going to be talking about.
That's correct.
Right. There are other business districts in Manhattan Beach.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, and like I said, I think City Council, Jackie and Joe, we focused on downtown first, but now, like I said, we're going to do a specific plan for Sepulveda, and we're also very interested in the Rosecrans corridor. And kind of doing things that will attract Silicon Beach South. So that's why we're looking at a five-star hotel. If you look at Manhattan Towers, those two towers, that was sold last year for $96 million. We have Boston Consulting Group just spun off a digital ventures. They're on the sixth floor with 70 employees. They're going to eventually go to the fifth and fourth floor. Some of these employees make seven figures. So we're looking at all opportunities to drive people further south. The Marriott is up for sale or may have sold, so you can see that get updated. So that's another corridor. So we're looking at all our corridors throughout the city. And then the North End, we have some opportunities there too. So we're
Before we go to the North End, let's stay on Rosecrans for a minute. I didn't know.
Sure.
The Marriott is being sold?
Yes. It's owned by Host, and it was up for sale, and I believe it has sold or it's getting ready to be sold. That'll be upgraded. In fact, I think Marriott, before they put it up for sale, was thinking about doing an upgrade. But I think they saw the Manhattan Tower sell for $96 million, so they said, now's the time to sell maybe. I'm not quite sure what their process was, but that'll be updated too. So there's opportunities all along that. And the Digital Ventures, that's their world headquarters.
That's a big deal.
Berlin, China. True Religion's got their world headquarters on Rosecrans.
True Religion, wow, what a great facility.
Yeah.
That's a big deal. That's a big deal because, over the years, Joe and I doing this show, we always talk about how El Segundo is home to what, like 400 of the what's the number, Joe? Fortune 500?
They have the largest concentration of Fortune 500 companies in the country.
In the country,
right.
Yeah. And Manhattan Beach is just a hop, skip, and a jump.
Right.
From all those,
a lot of companies now want to come. Real high-end companies, IT companies want to come to Manhattan Beach, and so we want to give them that opportunity along that corridor if we can do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I've read some stuff about a possible project also on Rosecrans. Is that where the big hotel, a five-star hotel, that?
Yeah. Yeah, we're looking at a five-star hotel right to the city owns the city parking lot that's just right adjacent to the Manhattan Tower. So we're looking at exploring the opportunity of a five-star hotel. So if we were to build that, that would connect to the new mall, the expanded Macy's. There are so many. If you look at the Marriott, it's 85% occupied during the week by business travelers.
Right.
So if you look at Silicon Beach, which is Playa Vista area, there are so many business people coming in town. They want to stay at a five-star hotel. There's only one opportunity in Marina Del Rey, where they have to go to Beverly Hills or downtown. They would love to come to Manhattan Beach. We would love to have them stay here, shop here, dine here, and things like that, so that we're looking at opportunities of looking at some five-star hotels or hotel opportunities in the city, because that's a great revenue source for the city. The Marriott, we own that land, so we get not only the TOT tax, we get a percentage of certain property. We get the ground lease, so ideally, if you can build a hotel, it should be on city property. So that's where we're looking at that parking lot.
Oh, that all-important TOT. We love that. We love that.
Yeah, very important to the city.
Mm. So bringing in the facilities that these business travelers need, that's a big deal. That's a
big
deal.
Absolutely. And to, you know, these business travelers, if you get a five-star hotel in Manhattan Beach with our great restaurants, the ambiance we have throughout the city, they're going to stay here rather than stay anywhere else.
Right.
Yeah, that is an incredible business corridor. As a matter of fact, my husband's office is there.
Yeah, it's still growing. It's still very dynamic.
Yeah, he loves it. He can leave his office. He can walk to a bunch of great restaurants and great facilities there.
Yeah, well, we've got, you know, and you'll see more restaurants. But we've got the Tin Roof over there. We've got the Lido, and there'll be more and more as you bring in a 5-star hotel. You get more and more activity there, which would be great.
Yeah,
that's exciting stuff.
Very. Well, now, Jackie, do we have any other announcements that we want to make? Or
I don't know if the chamber people don't call in anymore.
Yeah.
They used to call in at the 45-minute mark and give us some calendar of events, but that kind of fell by the wayside. I guess they're very busy.
Yes.
Yeah.
They're planning.
Yeah, they're planning. Yeah.
Well, there is a lot of planning involved in the state of Manhattan, because there'll be a lot of people involved in it. So maybe they're getting ready for the state of Manhattan, I think.
Well, Mark, it's wonderful having you on the show, and we want to give you an opportunity to talk about some of the things that you're doing and some of the things that you think are really exciting and fun. What are some of the things that you think people should know or should be highlighted in the city right now?
I would encourage people to visit the city website to take a look at what's happening on our agendas at each meeting, because there's going to be so many exciting things go on. We'd love to hear from you. You know, just email us, call us. The one good thing about our city council is you can email or call us, and you'll talk to us that day or the next day, or if you want a meeting within a day or two, we'll be meeting with you. So it's a very engaged city council. I'm very, very excited. First of all, as a mayor, I mean, it's a complete joy for me. It's a complete joy. I'm actually running the meetings, and I basically serve the other four council members and try to facilitate an efficient meeting. I enjoy that responsibility. Mm-hmm. I enjoy representing the city at various events. But most of all, I enjoy getting things done, and this city council committed to being we don't want to be a city council that likes hearing itself talk. We want to be, let's get things done, city council. And so we made that commitment last year. So this year, like I said, I think we're really ready to kind of put the pedal to the metal. I call it going to Warp 9, and that's a Star Trek thing, right? You know, it's going to be Warp 9. The bulkheads are going to be shaking, and we're going to be getting a lot done.
They're doers, Joe. They're doers.
Exactly, Jackie. You know, I've been in government so long, I used to call it D&D. You'd see some government officials that's delay and dawdle. And they wouldn't get anything done. We want to be doers. And there's, you know, we've got all the public safety initiatives coming up. We've got an economic vitality initiatives coming up. We've got some municipal buildings we need to replace. We need to do fire station number 2. We're looking at capturing more parking downtown. So we're looking at an option of scraping City Hall, putting the parking underneath for city employees, library employees, and downtown business employees, and freeing up those parking spaces in a low-profile city hall. We may want to go up for a city facilities bond on that, so we got to look at that. We're looking at fiscal sustainability, so there's things we have to do there to make sure. Do we want to raise our TOT tax? You know, do we want to go for a sales tax? Those are all things. And then, of course, our environmental stewardship issues. We're looking at a new climate action plan, and also being part of CCA. So there's a lot going on. Community Development Department there's more residential construction and commercial development going on than any time in our history, and they're doing a great job. So we're going to complete a specific plan. We're going to start one on Sepulveda. There's so much going on. It's so exciting. It's a great time to be on City Council, I'll tell you that.
We did not mention another big thing that happened in 2015, the new library.
Oh, yes. That's been spectacular. And City Council stepped forward and gave the money to have Sunday hours. And, Jackie, go down there Sunday. It's packed. And families go down there. They go to the library afterwards. They might go to the dinner or lunch or something like that. So it's become a great gathering spot for the community. And they've got a meeting room there that that all kinds of community groups use, too. So that's a great addition to our community and our downtown civic area.
It's a fantastic library, and that meeting room has audiovisual equipment, and they have staff there that understands audiovisual equipment, so they can really have just about any kind of a meeting. And then there's that big open space outside.
Isn't that wonderful, Joe?
Yeah, that is really wonderful.
Yeah, it's just magical when you see kids rolling down the hill there, and
right.
We had one time we had a concert when we opened up for the Sunday hours. And it's a great open. It's a classic open space. It's beautiful. It's elegant.
Right.
Do most libraries have Sunday hours or no? I always thought they were closed on Sundays.
No, most of them don't. But the City Council thought it was that important to our community, especially when it opened, to have Sunday hours. So the City Council is the one that funded that. That decided, no, we're going to fund this.
That's so great. That's so great. You know, with things shutting down left and right, the fact that Manhattan Beach has this great new library, and they're open 7 days a week, and the community is using it. You're right. It's like it's almost like an activity center.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. And Jackie, remember, you know how important reading is to our residents.
Oh that's right. So maybe that's how they know they're reading so much. There's somebody standing there with a counter and counting all the people coming into the library. Maybe that's it.
Oh, Jackie, you know what's funny was when the library closed, that was the busiest library in L.A. County. And now the visitors and the people going there, it's doubled or tripled. It's gotten that busy.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
Yeah.
I don't think that's happening in other libraries throughout the country.
Right.
No, I don't think so either.
Yeah.
You won't find a library as used and as functionally used by different groups. It could be kids, could be seniors, could be community groups as this library. And we've got a new librarian. She's fantastic.
Wow.
And she's a Manhattan Beach resident.
Wow.
Yeah, so if one of the best libraries in the county system, too, was the West Hollywood Library. She was a librarian at the West Hollywood Library, so she's now in our library, and she's a resident. So we're really hit the jackpot.
And she never has to leave the bubble.
Nope.
That's right.
Wow.
And just to give the other, would you give the other city council members a mention by name?
Oh, yes, we've got our mayor pro tem is Tony DiRico, so he'll be mayor in April. He's going to be a great mayor. He's got 30 years of business experience. He's got great judgment, good common sense. Then the reason we're such a good city council, too, is we've got such great experienced council members. So you've got David Lesser, who's a former mayor, and he was a very good mayor, and he'll be coming up and being mayor. So that's great. And then you've got Amy Holworth, who's a former mayor. And then you've got Wayne Powell, and he's been former two-time mayor. So that experience matters. It makes a difference on city council, that maturity. And that's one of the reasons why I think we kind of upped our game at last year and why we're going to be so good this year is because of my colleagues, their experience, their commitment, their dedication. They love this community. They love serving this community.
Yeah, absolutely. And we love covering it because it really is such it's almost a truism, but it's not a given that Manhattan Beach is very, very well run, but it takes work, it takes commitment and dedication, and like you said, Wayne Powell and David Lesser, it takes committed leaders from the past to be willing to continue, and they're willing to continue because they know that people care.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, you're not going to see the level of dedication and commitment by council members that you're going to see from my four colleagues. And there's such a civic pride, and they know that, and they take their job very seriously. They're very responsible, and they're very committed. And like I said, I'm blessed to be mayor to help them. That's my job, help them be the best they can be, and it's very easy. It makes my job easy because they're fantastic. I call them the Fantastic Four. I don't say that publicly. It's the first time I said it, but they are the Fantastic Four.
isn't that a movie or something? Or,
yes.
Yeah.
They're superheroes, believe me.
And what's great is that when was the last election? About a year and a half ago?
About a year and a half.
Year and a half. So you guys have some time. You guys were able to meld and figure out how to work together and get things done, and you've got some time going forward. You know,
yes,
so it's a
that's
very
exactly
productive.
It.
It's a very you got a very productive What is your term? What are the terms for?
It's 4 years.
So the
five of us have been together 4 years, and we really kind of, it was during Wayne Powell when he was mayor, but halfway through, all of a sudden, we really came together. We know each other very well. We know what's going on in the city. We had a new city manager that we all hired together, and we really began to take off from there. So the future is bright, I think. We have a period of stability, which is very helpful. But you're right, Jackie, we've all kind of come together, and that that stability, that experience really, really helps.
Yeah, and you need that situation to get things accomplished.
Absolutely.
That's great. As you said, stability. Stability is key.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's big important stuff.
Well, I'm out of questions. Jackie, do you have questions for Mark?
Mark has told us everything we need to know about
Manhattan. We know everything.
We know everything, and it's all sounding good. The future is the future's so bright. I got to wear shades.
And we know we should be there on February 10th.
Yes. Let's give that information again.
Yes, the Jocelyn Center, February 10th, Wednesday. It's in the morning, 7:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. And it's really going to be a special introduction, not just to how the city is being governed, but the state of the schools and the state of business in the city of Manhattan Beach. And that's a complete picture of what is and what needs to be. And that's great.
I'm
really looking forward to it.
And Mark, why don't you give us your contact information so that if anybody has questions about this event or anything like that, then they can contact you?
Absolutely. My cell phone number is area code 310-562-7897. And if you want to reach me by email, you can either call me or text me at that number. It's, again, 310-562-7897. Or you can email me at my city email address. That's mburton@citymb.info. That's mburton@citymb.info. And like I said, I'll get back to you as soon as I can, and I'd be happy to answer any questions or meet you for coffee to talk about our city and hear what you have to say.
Right. And, you know, it's great, Joe, again, another great thing about living in the South Bay, we got our mayors giving out their phone numbers.
Yeah.
You don't get that in other cities. You do not get that in other cities. And by the way, they're all on Facebook, and I'm friends with all of them. So they're all very here now, approachable. There's a million ways to get in touch, to get involved, and talk with your representatives. So,
right.
And that, I appreciate that.
That's why we love living in the South Bay.
That's right.
Mayor Mark Burton of Manhattan Beach, thank you for joining us today.
Joe, Jackie, thank you for the invitation. I always enjoy spending time with you guys and talking about Manhattan Beach and the South Bay.
All right, and we're looking forward to that address on February 10th. And we hope we'll see you all there. Thank you, Jackie.
Always a pleasure, Joe.
Wonderful. That's our show for this week, and we'll see you next week. Have a wonderful, fantastic weekend, and we'll see you then. Bye-bye now.